like didn't say a word. She just kind of like stared at me and grinned. It was crazy.
Staring contest.
Yeah.
With Bjork.
A staring contest with Bjork, yes.
Who won?
Her.
Hey, listen to Triple J with the Doctor. Congratulations to Louis' team, the Cronulla Stingers, Brad's team, the Wollongong Bulldogs, and also if your team, the Cronulla Seagulls, Millie in Cronulla. Congratulations to everyone who won their finals and or grand finals this weekend. I guess that also extends to the English Ashes team, who decided to celebrate their win in an interesting way.
Take me out!
Hey, after 4 o'clock, Amanda Shalala will bring you the important news about what happened in the Ashes, not just pissing all over the grass, and Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand will be in the studio, in a studio in London, to tell you all about the brand new album, Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action, from Franz Ferdinand. Right! The VMAs were just on in America, in Los Angeles, the MTV Music Video Awards. If you're planning to watch them when you get home from work, I don't know, get a hobby or something, or spoiler alert, I'll just run through a couple of things that went down that were of interest to us, to you, to me. Macklemore won two. They won Best Hip Hop Song, and Best Hip Hop Video, I mean, and Best Video with a Social Message. Apparently that is a category. So Macklemore winning Best Video with a Social Message. Probably not for that tune. And Daft Punk lost to One Direction for Best Song of the Summer. And if you've seen that animated GIF of Taylor Swift mouthing the words, shut the F up, that was the moment when she did that, when One Direction were up on stage. Daft Punk, however, there was a little bit of a video premiere. They premiered the first one minute of the video clip to Lose Yourself to Dance, which pretty much looks exactly like the video clip to Get Lucky. I chucked it up on my Facebook, except that there's some more people dancing around them. And then, as that was happening, up onto the stage walks Pharrell Williams, Niles Rogers, who was also in the clip, of course, and two dudes in robot suits and masks. You remember when Daft Punk couldn't come on Stephen Colbert's special festival, Colbertcella, because they would be at the VMAs. Well, they turned up and presented a little award.
I am honored to present this award with three of my heroes.
Nile Rodgers, who's worked with Madonna, David Bowie, and Michael Jackson. And these two robots right here.
Yo, Pharrell, but we're here to talk about another group of artists. We're here to talk about the nominees for the Best Female Video.
Hooray! Which eventually was won by Taylor Swift, and she didn't mouth the words, shut the F up then. So that's Niles Rogers and Pharrell Williams talking. The Daft Punk dudes did not talk, but George Palathingle from The Age, who was live blogging the whole thing with another dude from The Age, wrote this up online, which I thought was interesting. He writes, an Aussie producer, who will probably wish to remain unnamed, met an unmasked Giman from Daft Punk at their Perth Neverland show in 2007, so he knows what he looks like. And he said two interesting things is in this little article. He said that Giman, Homem de Cristo, looked like a hobbit. Okay, quite humorous. And number two, he reckons he saw Giman minutes before he took to the stage at the VMAs in full robot gear, and neither of them were that close to the stage at the time. So he saw Homem de Cristo out of costume just minutes before suddenly there's a dude up on stage in full robot gear, and neither of them were that close to the stage at the time. So was it Daft Punk up on stage? I guess we'll never know, but at least we know of one thing. They have not performed one note of their brand new album live as yet. That is the song, Got Nothing to Lose. You may have guessed that by the lyrics, which included the line, Got Nothing to Lose. That's the Jungle Giants from their feature album, Learn to Exist. And tomorrow, they're going to be on the show. There you go. So you find out a whole bunch that you need to know about that band, the Jungle Giants. Love Junkies before that, Baby Come Home. And Andrew on the line from Neutral Bay. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Now, you and many other people listening to the Jungle Giants have a very simple question.
The Love Junkies?
Yes, the Love Junkies. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And what is that question?
It is, what on earth are they singing about? What's the chorus? I can't quite work it out.
Yeah, let's have another listen from the sweet drum break. Now, the first bit, I think you were right, Kill the Lights.
Yeah.
But what's the next bit?
I don't know.
You think it's... So what's your theory?
I can't remember what I said now. Was it something
Meet the ends?
Meet the ends, yeah.
What about... Could be like meet the rents, you know, like when you say call your parents the rents? Meet the rents?
Ah, meet the rents. Okay, yeah.
Or kill the lights and the comedians?
Kill the comedians?
Yeah, sorry.
That doesn't sound nice. Why would they think about that?
I don't know.
Kill the comedians?
Well, come on, they're junkies to love. So maybe preferencing love over comedy. I tell you what, maybe we'll have to have a chat to them at some stage and work it out.
Yeah, please, and let me know.
All right, I'll absolutely let you know. Are you a fan of Franz Ferdinand there, sir?
Yep.
Well, they are going to be on the show at about 4:20. Alex Kapranos is going to be in the studio telling us all about the brand new album. Have a good afternoon, Andrew.
You too. Take care, boy.
Hey. Oh, yes. We're going to get some sweet illumination pretty soon, as a matter of fact, because Mr. Tom Tilley is going to be in. They got a big show on Hack coming up after 5:30. You'll find out all about it. In the studio, Amanda. There.
Hi, Doctor.
Oh, gosh. There we go. That's better. Nice one. Now, it is not so much a dream cave where the officials of Essendon are at the moment. It is a cave of nightmares.
Yeah, it's in lockdown at the moment at AFL House in Melbourne. So the AFL Commission is meeting with Essendon, including coach James Heard. They're trying to figure out what the punishment will be for the supplements program that the Bombers ran last year and in 2011.
Man.
So... we don't know. We're hoping there'll be some sort of resolution by the end of today. They've been in there since about 8 a.m. this morning. So there's talk that there could be the stripping of premiership points, that James Heard could be suspended for possibly a year.
Wow.
There's big implications for a lot of people, for James Heard, his assistant Mark Thompson, for the club doctor Bruce Reeves, and a lot of other people involved as well. Now, James Heard strongly believes that losing premiership points isn't the answer.
It'd be a tragedy for our playing group if they didn't play finals. For me, and I'm giving a personal opinion, it's not the club opinion, I see that, you know, losing premiership points is something that goes along with, you know, with cheating, and, you know, I don't think we have cheated. So that's my opinion, but I don't make that decision.
There you go.
So you just hope that this all comes to a resolution soon, because now we are one round away from the final starting, and the Bombers are in the eight at the moment. They had an amazing win at the weekend over Carlton. One for the ages, probably one of their best in the circumstances. They were trailing by as much as 20 points going into that final quarter. And then David Zaharakis was the hero for the Bombers, kicking the winning goal right at the end.
Now Zaharakis, he's in the pocket. He's kicked the goal. And Essendon's in front. Essendon is in front with 30 seconds remaining.
See, that's fun. There's still fun to be found in the game.
That's the beauty and majesty of sport.
Isn't it just... it is that kind of commentary. And also, I went and saw the Wollongong Bulldogs play on the weekend. My mate Brad plays for them. And he was off with a hamstring after the third quarter. And seeing him on the sideline was even funnier than seeing him on the field and better. Like, you know, people yell on the sideline stuff like, "Come on, Bulldogs, come on, doggies, lift, lift, doggies." But then he started yelling stuff, "Come on, guys, we're just playing footy today. We're just playing footy." And I was thinking, is there going to be someone on the field with like a squash racket going, just footy
damn
today.
It's footy.
Like there's a couple of players in the back pocket having a tea party going, just footy. Sorry, my mistake. Pick up the ball.
You get carried away when you play sports. See, when I'm on the field, I do commentary, but to myself. So usually abusing myself. I'm like, you idiot. And then once I said that, and the girl, opposition player, she thought I said it to her, and she was like about to clock me. And I said, no, I'm abusing myself. Don't worry. So it can get dangerous.
We need to mic you up, Amanda, next time you're playing on the hockey field.
It's ugly. It's really ugly.
What went on overnight when they won the Ashes? It was the game was stopped early due to bad light.
Yeah, so the fifth test ended in a draw, England winning the series 3-0, and the celebration spilled over into the night, and I saw a great headline. It turned into the splashes because at about 11:30 p.m. the players were still hanging around the oval pitch and they were taking turns urinating on the pitch, being cheered on by each other.
Cheered on? Yeah. You don't look if you need to go and take a sneaky wee. That's fine. But if you're cheering people on, A, that's a little bit filthy, and B, it suggests that maybe the bad light that Australia was complaining about, maybe not that bad. Because if you can see your mate pissing...
That's true.
And apparently people were like, there were still cleaners and stuff around the ground.
Yeah, there were people around. It's a sacred pitch, though. It's the Oval. It's one of the oldest cricket grounds in the world. You can't be doing that.
Look, maybe we should talk to a greenskeeper or a gardener. Is it good for the grounds?
Well, maybe.
Like, I don't know. I mean, they'd probably be full of a fair amount of booze by that stage. Plus the energy drinks, they can't be great for the grass.
No, I don't know. But it had already rained so much in that test. I don't know. And it was over anyway. So who knows? Maybe they'll try it out for the next day. Bowl, see if they can get some extra spin with the urine-soaked pitch.
But under Clarkie got booed.
Yeah, so it got really close in the end. England was chasing 227 to win. Clarkie made a great declaration to actually set up a game, a possible finish. England was 21 runs short of victory with four overs left when they went off the field due to bad light. And Michael Clarke was accused of sort of time wasting and those sorts of things. And he was very unpopular in the post-match interview.
I think the reading in Manchester was 8.1 and then today it was like a 5.7. So, but at the end of the day, what do? You do your best, you try and set up a game. And unfortunately, home fans, I think Australian fans would be exactly the same, but hopefully we've given them something to smile about by setting up a game today.
Oh, dear.
It was called off at 7:36 p.m., so that's quite late to still be playing cricket.
And the English team being accused of time-wasting as well in the Ashes. And let's face it, if we all got accused of time-wasting and got in trouble for it, I'd be in a lot of trouble on my radio show.
So, I mean, at least mercifully that Ashes series is over. England will come to Australia this summer and maybe some respect can be regained. The Aussie women are in action at the moment. They're playing England in the Women's Ashes series. It's being played across all three formats.
And no one urinating on any pitches, no one doing anything. You know, friends of mine have, like, they've stopped watching the men's cricket team. They're just watching the women because they're more respectable.
Well, they should be. And unfortunately, the Aussie women haven't managed to win the one-day part of the series. So England's won that 2-1. Now it's down to the 2020s. So if Australia can win that series, then they will retain the Ashes. Otherwise, England will take it. So it's a little bit confusing. There's a point system going. It's not just about the test match. It's about one test match, three one-days and three 2020s.
Oh, I get it all done while you're there.
Yeah, I think that's the way of the future. That's the way that we can win the Ashes back, chucking a few limited overs games in there. Yeah.
Now, in the NRL, some bad news for Knights fans.
Yeah, Cade Snowden, Knights forward, he's facing a 9-week suspension for a shoulder charge on the Cowboys' Ray Thompson. It was very ugly. It left Thompson with a broken jaw. Not sure how long he'll be out for. But in some other news, Brisbane playmaker Scott Prince, he has announced his retirement. He's had a very long career for four different clubs. So good to see him end his career on top. Probably not his best season this year, but time to call a curtain on it. Also for Jude Bolton, Sydney Swans AFL player, they're still well in premiership contention and he has announced that he will be calling it a day at the end of this season.
I initially just wanted to finish off the season and maybe do it post the season, but John retired after a premiership for North Melbourne and said it was a thing that he regretted, was not actually getting a chance to say goodbye and thanking a few people along the way, and that's certainly I've got plenty of people to thank.
So he does that now.
Yeah, because he's talking about his coach, John Longmire. So he gets a bit of a farewell Jude tour and hopefully a Swannies premiership to match.
Hey, Jude. Tonight at 8 for Live at the Wireless, it's time to get down with one-man band, Robert DeLong. He's just completed his first lap of the country with some great party jams like Global Concepts and Happy. Still getting old, we take you down to the dance floor for a special live set recorded in the mix-up tent at Splendor. Robert DeLong, tonight at 8, live at the Wireless on Triple J. And Amanda Shalala, not specifically sports, but very sporting. Coming up soon, are you a fan of Franz Ferdinand?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Alex Kapranos is going to be on the show talking about their brand new album that came out just on the weekend. In fact, he's going to be in the London studios, not too far from where the Ashes were held. So at least he knows if he's on his way to the studio right now, needs to take a piss, there's the place.
But he won't gloat, will he? He's a Scotsman. So
oh, that's
no
true.
Gloating.
No, he won't. And he's a lovely gentleman. He's probably got more important things to talk about. Yes, exactly. Well, that's coming up. Thank you very much, man. Have a great week.
See you, Doctor.
Yes, and in the studio, well, a studio across the seas, Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand. Hello, sir.
Hello, hi.
Oh, look how great is technology. Back on the radio.
Amazing. Here we are. And other side of the planet. Amazing, isn't it?
Well, we've had you on the phone twice already this year, I believe, talking to Triple J for various reasons. And I doubt it will be the last time as well, because you're going to be here in a few months' time for Harvest Festival.
That's right, yeah, in November.
It's going to be great. Now, how have the festivals been that you've been playing? Pukkelpop and Lowlands Festival, they look like a lot of fun.
Ah, they've been amazing, actually. Really, really good. I like the festivals as well, because when you're in a band and you're touring, you don't get to see other bands that often because, well, you're playing at the same time that they'd be playing. But when it's festival season, that's when you get to check out other people that you want to see and maybe hang out with people you haven't seen for a while. And, yeah, they've been great for that too.
Who did you get to see and hang out with?
Well, I got to see a couple of bands that I hadn't seen before. I got to see a band called Deep Valley. I don't know if you know those guys from Los Angeles.
Yeah, they were just here for Splendor in the Grass. And I saw them sneakily taking a photo of you guys from the side of stage.
Oh, really? No way.
At Lowlands, yeah.
Right, cool. Yeah, well, they're amazing. I really love that band. They're really cool. I saw Haim as well. They were really good. Who else did I see? Saw a little bit of Jake Bugg. Saw a bit of Fools. I think Fools are amazing at the moment. Their live show is so good.
Another band that does, mixes sort of indie sounds with dance sounds quite well.
Yeah, they do. It's funny. They've got quite a lot of a kind of like a housey element as well. Like Edwin, the guy on the keyboards, he brings a lot of really interesting stuff into that band. But no, really good. Like, and Yanis is a very charismatic front guy as well. Yeah, I like him.
It's good. Now, what about, so those festivals very good, but what about, was it the Sziget Festival in Hungary?
Yeah, I've got this allergy to peanuts. So if I eat a peanut, then I get ill. It's such a drag. It just means I spend more. Yeah, I just always have to ask all the peanuts. And I think something had got into some vegetables that I had with my dinner and knocked me out. And fortunately, there was this team of paramedics who kind of burst into the dressing room where I was lying. And before I knew it, they were jabbing me in the left butt cheek with, not hydrocortisone, antihistamines. That's antihistamines and calcium. And by the time I got to do the show, I was all right. After a wee bit of a spew and a couple of jabs, I'm fine.
That's the thing. I'm allergic to cashews, which are in far less things than peanuts. And it's the same deal. You just have to get it out of your system.
Yeah, totally. That's it. I mean, it's funny. Like once you've had a good throw up, you actually feel pretty well. Not good, but relieved.
Does it mess with your brain as well? Like sort of.
It's weird. Like the only way I can describe it is it feels like I've had a big shock. You know, it feels like I've been in a car crash or something like that. You know, you just feel really dazed and shaken. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you the thing that really perked me up was going on stage. Because, you know, when you go on stage, the adrenaline completely sort of overwhelms your system. And you feel kind of all right after that. And I've often found that you must find that as well. When you go on tour, if you're feeling a wee bit ill, and then you can feel terrible before a show, but as soon as you walk on stage, you feel invincible, you know.
It's like the rock and roll EpiPen. Just jump up on stage.
Maybe that's what it is.
Well, it's good to see that your music cures you. I've got someone on the line now who had kind of the opposite effect. Julia, hello there.
Hi.
Say good day to Alex.
Hello Alex, Julia.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Now,
how are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Now, what happened to you whilst listening to Franz Ferdinand? What was the song?
It was Love Illumination.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yes, and I was making dinner in the kitchen, and I was wearing socks at the time on floorboards. Oh. I may or may not have fallen over and then sprained my ankle.
Oh, no, nightmare.
Yeah. I feel
vaguely responsible for that. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, you should.
This is your fault for making songs that, I mean, that is not a standard soft shoe shuffle, so when you're wearing your socks, it's going to be dangerous.
Yeah. All right. I'm very touched that you took a fall for us. That's lovely.
The least I could do.
It's funny though, when you do get into something, when you get into a piece of music, you can do that. You can injure yourselves badly. I remember once we were on stage and it happened to Bob. He was like kind of like dancing around. That's Bob, our bass player. Yes. And he was dancing around. And we were playing in Leeds. And I remember looking over to the left, seeing him there, then looking back and he was just gone. And he'd fallen off the side of the stage. But he was all right. I mean, surprisingly, he didn't sprain anything.
Now, yes, Julia?
No, I was just going to say he was lucky then. My ankle, I was out like the rest of the night. It was pretty bad.
Oh, no. How are you doing now? Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, it was fine. It wasn't that dramatic. I didn't need crutches or anything.
And despite all that, Julia, are you brave enough to handle the whole album, the whole new Franz Ferdinand album?
I'm unsure. I have no idea if I'm ready or not.
Well, we're going to be playing a bunch from it today, so maybe just put on some sort of safety shoe, some kind of runner with grip.
Yeah.
It's a wise idea.
Good on you, Julia. Have an excellent afternoon. Thank you for chatting.
Thanks, you too. Yeah. Bye, Alex.
Cheers, Julia. Bye.
I'm talking to Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand. I'm going to play my favourite song. I'm going to kick it off with my favourite song from the brand new album, Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action. This is Bullet on Triple J by Franz Ferdinand. Triple J, that was Bullet by Franz Ferdinand from the brand new album, Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Actions. Alex Kapranos is in the studio and, yeah, as I was saying before, such a cool sound. It's a very live sound, like kind of like the Jam or something.
Yeah, I always loved those of recordings where you hear the sound of a band playing together in a studio at the same time. And it's weird, like with recording technology going right back 40 years, I always feel there's been a battle between the engineer and the band, because a band knows that when they perform at the best, they're playing together at the same time. But an engineer knows that they get the best sound by separating the band and building them up, like sort of one at a time. And so there's always been this conflict in the studio, but we won this time. I think those recordings are good. You've just got more personality and more of what the band is.
So was that kind of like a mission statement for this album, to win that battle, to do it as live as possible?
Yeah, it was. It was. And at the core of every song on the record, there is the sound of the four of us playing live in a studio together. And that recording as well, I guess Bullet's such a good laugh to play live as well. It's probably about as raw as you can get as a band in the studio. It's just the four of us. There's one overdub on the whole song, and that's Paul missed a cymbal when we were recording it. And rather than re-recording the whole track, we just overdubbed the cymbal back again. But apart from that, it's all totally live.
That is great, because, I mean, Paul probably was missing the cymbal because he was off getting his face tattooed or whatever he does.
Yeah, he's got quite a few tattoos, Paul. Yeah. And I guess the face is all that's going to be left soon.
I remember seeing him years ago, like, you know, sort of as like a skinny little guy, fresh-faced, you know, clean of skin, and now he's looked like he may mug you in an alley.
Yeah, it's funny because he's actually the gentlest, loveliest, softest guy you could ever meet. But I think I do sometimes see old ladies like sort of like swerving away from him on the street. Huh?
Right. If you do see Paul Thompson anywhere, you know he is a teddy bear. He's fine to approach.
He's a lovely guy.
Can I ask you maybe about one of those experiments, one of those later sounds? I'm guessing this sound came on a little bit later. I'm talking about at the start of Treason Animal.
Oh, yeah.
The jaw harp.
yes. I'm glad you noticed that. Yeah.
I can pick a jaw harp at 100 paces.
Yeah. It's funny. You know, when we go on tour, loads of bands like this, if you find yourself in a strange town, you go and you sort of like look up whatever music shops you can find or whatever junk shops you can find, always looking for things to pick up. And I don't know, I got that years ago, that jaw harp, and it's been sitting around in my studio for years, and I could never find a place to play it. And then we'd recorded that song, and then I thought, you know what would be right now? You see, remember that jaw harp I bought 7 years ago? Now is its moment. And yeah, it worked. It does make me think of Ennio Morricone and that sort of thing. It's got a real kind of mood about it.
If you put that...
Exactly.
Actually, which would make sense, because that was one of the songs produced by Björn, from Peter Björn and John, who
had the song
with the whistling.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good connection. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. We went over to Stockholm and we did a couple of songs with Björn. Like, he's a lovely guy as well. So has this amazing studio as well. Like, the studio that I've got in Scotland is a really ramshackle kind of cobbled together kind of a place. Whereas he's got what used to be the studio for Polar Records, which is ABBA's record label in Sweden in the sort of late 60s and early 70s. And so you can imagine what it's like. It's all that beautiful Swedish design and a very tasteful, nice place to be.
Yeah, our very own Sarah Blasco recorded an album over there a couple of years before you, as a matter of fact. She didn't mention the ABBA thing, though. I don't think she's got a jaw harp on her album either.
Well, yeah. Something new every time.
You know, on Triple J, I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play a song by Sarah Blasco, since she recorded there as well on Triple J. I've got Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand in the studio. A whole bunch more to talk about, and I had to listen to some new tunes, including the vaguely salacious nature of some of your lyrics.
Oh, right, okay.
Too soon on Triple J. Pages turning. On Triple J, that is Sarah Blasco, and in the studio, and by the studio, I mean our London studios, because apparently we have them now, Alex from Franz Ferdinand. Is it a nice studio where you are?
It's a really nice, it's a really nice bit of London, actually. It's down by Millbank, sort of near the river, near the Houses of Parliament. It's like, if you imagine your sort of like archetypal picture of the city of London, you're kind of in that bit of London. It's, yeah, a nice spot you got here.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad. I'll hopefully get to visit it one day.
Yeah.
I played the song Bullet before, and I was talking about kind of salacious lyrics.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like,
okay,
let the mask go down on you. Let the mask go down like I do.
Yeah. Or are you, let the mask do what I do if I was there. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Aye. Yes. Yeah, it's a song about sort of vendetta and jealousy and sort of like, oh, you know, you can let those things happen, but don't expect me to not be jealous.
Oh, and well, because then there's the song Brief Encounters. The groove in it is amazing.
Cool.
But it seems to be about, I don't know, swinging couples, that kind of thing, and the damage that can do.
It's about car key parties. I don't know if I guess you probably had these in Australia as well, but I don't know how apocryphal they are, like whether they were there or whether they were just made up. But like in the 70s and maybe into the 80s, I guess bored suburban couples would sort of meet up at parties, and the guys would chuck their keys into a bowl, the women would pick out a set of keys, and then disappear off in the car which the keys fitted. I guess the song's about how when you feel that your life is getting mundane, you look for anything that's going to sort of give you that sense of liberation or freedom or something that's pulling you out of the ordinariness of everyday life. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good.
Which is interesting, because you had previously said that you felt that Franz Ferdinand was becoming like the routine and obligations of a job. So was that the lyrics kind of come from jumping out of the mundanity of that?
See, the thing is, like, with the band, like, I never feel like that on stage, like, when I'm performing. Like, I love that, and that's never changed. It's always been intense. The same as going to the studio as well. But what happens is, because you fly and you're touring and you're constantly on the road, but particularly because you're in each other's company all the time, I don't know, you've got to have a bit of a break in order to appreciate each other again. Mm-hmm. Also, like, as I'm saying this, I'm kind of thinking, like, what am I talking about, man? Here I am. I'm in a rock and roll band. I get to record songs and tour the world and play it. Shut up moaning and just enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. And not just rock and roll. You're talking about, I don't know, this kind of... Is it like a reggae groove or something? I'm not sure
what
it is.
The groove on that, it comes from a kind of Latin American music called cumbia. We've done a couple of tours around Latin America, and I really love it over there. And we got into a lot of this cumbia music, particularly the sort of slightly older cumbia music. And the tempo is really slow, which is, mm-hmm. I guess, kind of a bit like reggae, and that's what gives it the sort of reggae feel. But it's a slightly different sort of shuffle to it. And while you've got the slow tempo, you've got a double time percussion usually going on at the top. And it gives you this kind of like sort of very upbeat and slow feeling at the same time. We thought, oh yeah, let's try and put some of that into what we're doing. As always happens when we try to do that thing, we kind of get it wrong. We screw it up, you know, and it ends up becoming our own thing. But well, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, of course. The very first song, your biggest tune, Take Me Out, of course, having a crazy sort of rhythm that is, you know, unlike other things. So.
Yeah. I don't know how we came up with that one either. I guess that was us trying to play disco at the time. And yeah, most of our music is us trying to do something and getting it horrendously wrong and, I guess, stumbling across something new, you know? Yeah, even the last song of the record as well is kind of like that too, like the song Goodbye, Lovers and Friends. Mm-hmm. I've been to Berlin a few times with the band, and I've got friends over there. And Berlin has a really big Turkish population. And you hear a lot of Turkish guys driving around in their cars and listening to, I guess, what's Turkish pop music. And I've always loved the beats that you get in that music. It's really different from a lot of Western pop music. And it's got that... I don't know what you'd call it or what the name for that genre is. And again, with Goodbye Lovers and Friends, we were trying to do that rhythm and kind of getting it wrong and guess doing something new.
Well, I might play that after 5 o'clock. I might play that after the news. I really like that song as well, and I want to find out exactly who you're singing to on that song. But right now I'm going to play the song we premiered, actually this time last week, we premiered Evil Eye, which is great. It's a song that reminds me of like some old black and white movie bank robber with a mask on creeping somewhere.
Yes. That's a pretty good description. Okay, all right.
Well, I'm going to chuck it on right now, and we might chat to someone who is very much digging this song afterwards. On Triple J, Alex from Fred Ferdinand is on the radio. Triple J, that is Evil Eye by Franz Ferdinand. We got so many great texts when we premiered that last week, Alex. I thought I might read some to you, if that's all right.
Cool, yeah.
Franz Funkinand.
See what you did there, that's good.
Well, they didn't give a name, unfortunately. New Franz is the Shiznit, said Ryan in Canberra, which is... you know, urban speak for the shit. What a riff. Franz are back. Love it. DB in cool. Brisbane. Loving the crazy carnival sideshow vibe, says Francis. Great. I've got someone else on the line who would love to say good day. Phoebe, how you doing?
Oh, really good.
Hey Phoebe, how you doing?
Oh, so good. This is so exciting to speak
to you. Oh, no, nice to speak to you too. Thanks for calling.
Now, Phoebe, I was saying it reminds me of a black and white movie villain creeping along. What did you think that that Evil Eye reminded you of?
This is so bad to say this in front of the lead singer, but it sounds exactly like a perfect mix between The Clash and the Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
Oh wow! Maybe that's what Franz Ferdinand does. That's pretty funny. It's funny because this song almost didn't come about because I wrote it and then went and recorded it with Nick at Sausage Studios, his studio down in London, and we did it. We thought we just had a bit of a laugh putting it together. And we didn't really think much more of it. We weren't going to stick it on the album. And Bob and Paul were going through all the recordings that we'd been making. And they said, what's this one? And the original title that Nick had saved it under was Red Ya Bastard, because that was one of the lyrics. And and Paul was like, what's Red Ya Bastard? And it was Paul and Bob. They loved it and said, oh, we've got to do this. We've got to record this properly. So that's when we went off and did it. So if it wasn't for Nick giving it a daft name and Paul spotting it, probably wouldn't have been here today.
And we know now it used to be called Red Ya Bastard.
Yeah, that's the one. Aye. Yeah, we just made a video for it as well with
Have you got
Diane.
Coordinated dance moves and everything? Or?
There's a little bit of dancing. It's a bit more of a kind of like a little bit of shuffling. But no, it's not a full coordinated dance. But it does have a full on schlock horror theme. It's like a really gory B movie sort of thing.
It sounds exactly like that Backstreet Boys film clip. I can see.
Really? Oh dear. Right.
It's much more. In fact, some bits are pretty hardcore in it. I showed a couple of friends and they were like, oh God, I think I might have to throw up.
Excellent.
Oh, that is good. Hey, Phoebe, we may well see you on the 10th of November at Werribee Park for Harvest Festival.
I hope I do get to see you there,
see
Phoebe.
You guys
Cheers. Thanks. Nice chatting to you.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Oh, dear. On Triple J, that's Alex from Franz Ferdinand is on the radio. I tell you, after the news, we're going to hear some more from Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Actions. I'm going to check on that last song, as a matter of fact, and might find out a little bit more about what's going to happen at Harvest Festival. I know you guys are going to be there. I'm going to play the Drones. Have you heard the Drones, Alex?
I haven't. I haven't. Who are the Drones?
They're a band from outside of Melbourne. They're not they're not from the city, or they, I think, originally come from, one of them comes from Perth. Not quite as upbeat as some other bands. A great little tune called How to See Through Fog, and I'm going to play it now on Triple J. They're going to be at Harvest Festival. They're they're fun-loving, although their music may not suggest it.
Right, good.
On Triple J. This is it. And the news is up next. Alex will be back after the news. Oh, yes. all the way across the seas, but on the radio and in the studio, Alex from Franz Ferdinand, who have a brand new album out just last Friday and are going to be here for Harvest Festival. That is correct, is it not, Alex?
Yeah, that's right. Looking forward to coming over, really looking forward. It'll be good to sort of see some of the other bands. There's one band who's playing that I'm particularly excited about, and that's Neutral Milk Cartel, because I've been a fan of theirs for a really long time, and as you know, they haven't really played for the last decade or so.
Yeah, I was going to say they haven't played in ages.
No. I mean, they barely toured, I think, when they first sort of were releasing records. And yeah, it's going to be a real treat to see them too.
They're one of those bands that like you hear from people like you when people say, you know, in talking about these influential bands, but then a lot of people may not have heard of them or definitely not heard them.
Yeah. It's going to be a great opportunity to see them. And did you say that band Drones? Are they
yes,
playing at Harvest
the
as well?
Are going to be
right,
there.
Okay. It'll be nice to hear them. Like it'll be good to sort of like see what's going on in Australia as well, because there's a couple of bands that I've heard recently that have been coming out of Australia that I've really enjoyed listening to. Do you know that band UV Race?
Yes, UV Race.
Really love that band. I think they're amazing. And there's another band who I think originate in Australia but now live in Brooklyn. Is that Scott and Charlene's Wedding? Do you know those guys?
I do not. Of course, there is a band called Scott.
But good name though, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course, especially being that you are someone from the UK, so you guys probably love Neighbours even more than we do here.
It does have a certain resonance, that name, definitely, yeah.
On Triple J, I'm going to play the new tune from Hot Chip, who I believe you guys were hanging out with for some of the songs on new album as well, Alex.
Yeah, that's right. Like they came in and sort of worked on the production with us on the first and the last songs on the album, Right Action and Goodbye Lovers and Friends.
Oh, well, this is Dark and Stormy on Triple J. Alex from Franz Ferdinand is in the studio, in a studio on Triple J. On Triple J, I played Hot Chip, their new tune Dark and Stormy, and Reptile by Citizens, a band the gentleman in the studio produced, Alex from Franz Ferdinand. Nice guys to produce.
Yeah, they were lovely. Really good guys to hang out with. Good songwriters. Mm-hmm. And Tom has such a spectacular voice, like really truly idiosyncratic. I don't think anybody else sounds like him. But yeah, and I mean, if you guys had them in the studio, you'll know what they're like, but they're lovely guys to hang out with as well.
And on stage, well, he wasn't on stage that much. I think he crowd surfed every single show they played in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good front man, isn't he? He's really enigmatic. Hey?
I guess it's hard for you. Are you always behind the guitar, so you can't really get out and crowd surf if you were to watch?
Oh, I do like to chuck the guitar down and get out there sometimes. Yeah, the amazing trick is if you can pull it off, and that's like sort of jumping backwards and keep on playing the guitar while you're doing it. Right, yeah.
That is the trick.
Yeah, it doesn't always work though.
Maybe what you could do at Harvest is get someone else on stage to play guitar instead of you, so you had a chance to do that. For example, David Tennant, who played guitar from Doctor Who and Broadchurch.
Aye, that's right. Yeah. He came and joined us, and we did something with the BBC a little while ago. Aye, yeah. It's funny because like I'm a bit of a Doctor Who fan. Like when I was a wee guy, I was totally obsessed with Doctor Who. So it was a nice moment. I was like, oh yeah, and Peter Capaldi, a new Doctor Who. Yeah. That's going to be amazing.
That's funny because they're running the David Tennant Doctor Who's on the ABC right now, but they're also running David Tennant's show Broadchurch, and so you hear him as an English person. And then with his real accent on Broadchurch.
Right, yes. So right.
I'm wondering what they're going to do with Peter. You reckon they're going to let Peter Capaldi speak in a Scottish accent?
Oh, I don't know. That'll be interesting, won't it? Like, it should really be that accent, should it? Because it's such a brilliant accent. I just wonder if his vocabulary is going to change.
I think what you may be referring to is Peter Capaldi in The Thick of It, which sounds a bit like this.
Give me the f***ing number of Tim and Rice. If you don't give me his f***ing number, do what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to f***ing go to f***ing Rice and f***ing snap the thumb and forefinger off of every single person I see who I think resembles the kind of wanker that will be walking around in this day and f***ing age with a name like f***ing Tim. How do you think that sounds, huh?
That's fresh out of the TARDIS right there.
Oh, that's amazing. Poor Tim. that is so good. Yeah, you've got to have that accent, haven't you?
I think so. And maybe yeah, not entirely the vocabulary, or maybe that.
Maybe not all of that. Yeah.
I got Tyler on the line. Hey, you are looking forward to Harvest Festival?
Sure am, mate. Good to see the friends there.
No. Oh, cheers, man. Yeah, looking forward to it too.
Now, you've got a special connection to Franz Ferdinand. You tell us what happened when you got your car license.
So I went home and the night before made a playlist called Cruisin' 09. And then first song that came up in it on playlist was Ulysses by Franz Ferdinand.
Nice.
So the first song I've listened to in my car while I was driving alone was your song.
Oh, that's lovely. I must be good memories then, like every time you get behind the wheel. It's funny, isn't it? Because like when you go driving, you do really associate journeys that you make with the music that you listen to at that particular time. Like whenever I hear Revolver by the Beatles, it reminds me of the first time I went to Glastonbury Festival when I was about 17 or 18, and I drove all the way down from Aberdeen in the north of Scotland right down to Glastonbury in the south, and we only had a couple of tapes in the car, and Revolver was one of them, and we listened to it to death, and every time I hear it, can't think of anything else.
Where did you drive, Tyler, that first time you turned your car on and turned Ulysses on?
About 6 minutes down the road to school.
Yeah!
Amazing, amazing.
It's almost like going to Glastonbury.
Yeah.
I think what we could call that is Clastonbury, because you're going to class. Anyway, hey, Tyler, we'll see you at the Brisbane Harvest Festival, more than likely at the Botanic Gardens on the 17th of November.
That's it.
Nice one, Tyler. Cheers, man.
Have a good one. On Triple J, I'm talking to Alex from Franz Ferdinand. What else have you been listening to? Is there anything that you might like us to chuck on the radio?
Oh, right. I'm trying to think what bands have been... play some Deep Valley. That's really good. There's another band called Parquet Courts. Have you heard those guys?
Yeah, let's play some Parquet Courts.
Yeah, that'd be great.
On Triple J, that is Parquet Courts, a band recommended by Alex from Franz Ferdinand, who's in the studio all the way over in London. But you will be in our country very soon.
Yeah, going to be over in November for Harvest.
Which is lovely. And then what's in store for you guys after that?
I guess we're going to do a fair bit of touring. And what we've been working on recently is the video for Evil Eye, which I was telling you about earlier. We're just getting the edits through for that at the moment. It looks amazing because our friend Diane, she has lots of friends that work in the horror movie business. Mm. And so she pulled in all these guys that do special effects. And some of the stuff they're doing is amazing. Like it's incredible to see how they build it up using all the latex, and they use things like they get a fire extinguisher and fill it with fake blood and then pump it up, and then that's where all the blood comes from. And it was amazing to watch it. And it's strange because when you're there seeing it all come together, it doesn't feel gory at all. It just feels, you know, because you're seeing how it's put together. But then when you see it back, it kind of really turns your stomach.
But isn't it right? Isn't your studio called is it Blood Pudding?
Black Pudding.
Black Pudding. So I thought you were going to say, well, your studio is named after. Well, Black Pudding's made of blood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Alex from Franz Ferdinand is in the studio in London. I'm going to play one more song from Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action, singular at the end there. And then you've got a whole day ahead of you in beautiful London. What are your plans for today?
Yeah, we're going to go off. In fact, after I finish talking to you, I'm going to go over to a park somewhere and take some photos for the NME. Then we've got a gig in Brixton tonight, which I'm looking forward to. We're having a sort of double launch for the album over here. We're playing in Brixton tonight, then going back home to Glasgow tomorrow to do a show there.
How fun for a hometown crowd tomorrow night as well.
Aye, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be great.
They're going to be massive. Oh, they're going to be so massive. Well, I'm going to play Goodbye Lovers and Friends, appropriately, because I'm saying goodbye to you. But the song, the lyrics don't seem that they're quite as congenial as that. Who is this kiss-off style song to?
Well, it came about... I heard a story about François Mitterrand, who used to be the president of France. I read in a paper somewhere talking about his funeral. I was talking about all the people that were at his funeral. There was his colleagues, all these heads of state, his children, his wife, his mistress, or maybe mistresses. I was thinking, like, God, that's crazy. All those French. But also, I was thinking, it's that moment, well, I was going to say in your life, but like at the end of your life, when you have all those people gathered there that you'd never have gathered in a room together at any point when you're actually alive. And I was thinking, like, oh, yeah, well, that's going to happen to me at some point. What am I going to say to these people? And I guess that's what the song's about.
Right. Well, you say it well. and as we said, with a Turkish cab driver beat.
Yeah, yeah, Turkish cabby beat. Yeah, yeah.
What a way. What a perfect goodbye. All right. Well, we're going to play it now. Hey, Alex, thanks so much for chatting to Triple J and for hanging out for this whole time. Have a ball taking photos in a park, and we'll see you in many parks for Harvest Festival in November.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us on, and see you in November.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.